I've been up all night and day two, the last two, 3 days, and we've just been missing. I'm so glad to hear you.
I've had one of the most momentous decisions any president's had to make, and I want to congratulate you on it, Mr. President.
Thank you, Ralph.
Last, where I was, our mutual friend Jim Mathis put on a Democratic rally last night at Edinburgh, all at his own expense, had me to fly down there, and he had a good rally.
Oh, wonderful. Good, wonderful.
Working well, he was able to get out popular sheriff, the county attorney, the two most popular county officials in the county who hadn't shown up at a rally before, but he got them up on the line, and he thinks it's going to have a good effect.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mr. President, what I called you about was the Sunday rally.
Yep.
Republicans are advertising widely here that when Nixon shows up here Saturday, that he'll have two former governors, Allen Shivers and Coke Stevens. Of course, they've been there so long, we're not surprised that it'll be in Republicans. But I thought this one man, a former governor, whose name hasn't been mentioned in Texas this year, is Price Daniel.
Yeah.
Price was governor just 6 years ago. He's still got a bunch of appointees and friends in office. And I think it might be helpful at Houston if he came and was on the platform.
I'll talk to him.
In the Coliseum.
I'll talk to him. I'll talk to him.
That gives us two, a governor and a former governor.
Yeah. I'll talk to him if he's... here, he was here yesterday, and I'll talk to him about it. I'd like to see him do it. Hope he will.
He's close to his home of Liberty, and his son, Price Jr., is nominated for the legislature down there.
I sure do it.
I believe it'd be helpful to have.
On this thing, Ralph, I want to give you a short thumbnail sketch so that you understand what happened.
Yes.
In September, this is 5 years of it, but I'll summarize it in 5 minutes. In September, at the legislative meeting in San Antonio, I said we will stop the bombing if it will lead to prompt, productive talks that they do not take advantage of, period. There are three key words, prompt, productive, and not take advantage of. Now, they immediately rejected that. I became convinced by January that anything I said along that line would be interpreted as trying to win an election, that the doves would just be pulling at me every second saying that you're going to lose the votes and we can't support you if you don't do so and so. The hawks would be doing the same thing. The country would be saying, well, he's just a politician. So that if I had any chance whatever to ever bring about cessation of hostilities, I couldn't be running for office. I didn't want to run anyway. I never wanted to be in the office to begin with. Everybody thought I had a consuming ambition for power, and I do, but it's back there on that little Caliche farm where I just don't have even the phone ringing. But they don't understand it, and they picture you another way. So I wrote out my announcement, but for good many reasons didn't make it in January, although I told them to go on and build their house in September, and they started adding on to our bedrooms, and I wouldn't be building it to just occupy 5 years later. And Connally said he would run if I wanted him to run, to be sure that his organization, the state, would go for us. I told him no, not to do it, that I didn't know whether I was going to run or not. I didn't want to tell it, but if I were him, I wouldn't. So in March, I made this statement that I would stop the bombing of 90% of the area, and I would stop the rest of it immediately if they would show any act of restraint to match it. They came back and said, come to Cambodia, and they would have screwed me to death if I'd have gone there. Then they wanted me to go to Poland, and I couldn't go there because of the Eastern European problem. The puppet didn't know it, but they would have run me wild there, and everything would have been out of control and been tapped, and we'd have had demonstration and everything else. But finally they came to Paris. Now, 5 months in Paris, we have said we want prompt discussions. They always say we won't do it till you stop the bombing. We've said productive discussion. And by productive, we mean the government of South Vietnam can be there. Our doves have said that the elected government out there, crooks and thugs and puppets and generals and all that, and of course the communists say even worse things, which the fact is, this is the only government they've got, and it is an elected government, and the president and the prime minister together received 45% of the votes. We had the best man we could send out there to observe it. And it's a hell of a lot better government than the communists have got any place in the world, so far as democratic expression is concerned. So we said, we just can't be like Chamberlain and Hitler and dividing up countries without their presence. We're there for the purpose of ensuring self-determination, and we can never have a productive meeting unless they're present. They refused to do that from March, April when they came, until October the 9th. Now then, on October the 9th, they came into the meeting and they said, if we would let the GVN come and have a productive discussion, what else would you have to have? What other demand would your dictator president require? Well, you know, that's kind of like girls saying, if I go to bed with you, how long before we can go to the dance? It kind of looks like she's interested. So we all got pretty interested. And we came back and said, well, we'd have to have assurances that while we were sitting there in the living room talking, you weren't raping our wife in the kitchen. If she hollered for help, we'd have to come help her. Now that means if we had a discussion going to be productive, the GVN would have to be there. And you couldn't shell the cities like you did during Tet when we stopped the bombing. And you couldn't violate and abuse the DMZ. Well, I said, we'll never agree to that. And we said, all right, we can't go anywhere, you've got to do it. So the Russians came in and said they're not ever going to agree to it, but if you stop it, they won't do it. So we went back to them and said, now, do you clearly understand that we can't have a productive conference if you're shelling the cities and abusing the DMZ? And they said, yes. Do you still want a productive conference? They said, we sure do. So we repeated this to them 12 times for the record, that we will have a productive conference, which the GVN will be present, but if you shell the cities, and if you invade the DMZ and put our men in danger, that will automatically, when you do that, trigger a bombing response. Abrams has orders and rules of engagement where he proceeds without even talking to us. They said they understood that. So then last Tuesday, I went out to the Soviet and I said to them, now, I don't believe these folks will keep, I don't believe they will not abuse the DMZ, and I doubt seriously that they won't shell the cities. But I don't want to be charged with deceit. The moment I stop the bombing, if they start doing either of these, Abrams is going to resume the bombing. Then you're all going to say, I deceived you. I want you to know it. Kosygin said he understood it, and that my doubts about their not complying were not justified. So I called Abrams in, and I'd had each member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, took them around the table, told them to speak freely. Didn't tell them, told them I hadn't made up my mind, didn't know what I was going to do. General McConnell says, I recommend you go ahead and do this. General Chapman of the Marines said, Mr. President, I think you should go ahead immediately with it. General Palmer, Westmoreland's deputy, who's been out in Vietnam all night, said, considering everything that's been brought in here, I would go along and make this proposition. General Westmoreland, if the rules of engagement that Abrams has are suggested here, there will be no problem. I recommend it. General Abrams said, I certainly subscribe to it 100% and ask that I have authority to stop it. So I got him in here at 2:30, and then I said, now I want you to look me in the eye and orally tell me this yourself. Will this endanger lives? He said, no, they are retreating. We've won the war since September. Said, the people don't know it, but said they, we've broken their back. Said they still have a capacity to harass, they can still send men in. But their objectives have been completely denied to them since September. They have been able to mount a third offensive. Every time they get ready to, I knock them off. And so it's like a fellow in a prize fight. We get him down, he can get up all right, but I knock him down just fast as he does. But he said, I think that you ought to do this because, first of all, I can't bomb North Vietnam anyway in another week. The monsoon's on, and 95% of it will be covered over. I want to take these same planes and use in Laos and use in South Vietnam to bring them to their knees. And I can use it more effectively. So it's like running a transport line from Atlanta to New York, but from Washington to Philadelphia and Baltimore, the bridges are washed out. So I just take the trucks that I normally send to New York, put them all running between Washington and Atlanta where you can. And I'll take those planes I normally send to New York and I'll put them on Atlanta. So I got everybody aboard, every civilian secretary, every secretary of state and undersecretary, every defense secretary and undersecretary, every general. Then I sat down and got this fellow Momar, who's been in charge of our air forces, who's a big bomber man, LeMay's assistant, who's been in charge of our air forces out in the Pacific, in Thailand, and he's been in charge of all these raids. And Pat Nugent's been serving under him. So he's up in Langley Field. He's just been brought in. He's served his time over there. I outlined it to him by himself with a stenographer present, and I said, what's your recommendation? He said, I'd stop it this minute. So that's the reason I acted. Now, I don't know. I may have to start it tomorrow if they start shelling the cities, taking advantage. If they start unloosing their forces through the DMZ. But the Russians have told me they wouldn't. And they know that we can't have a productive conference if they do. And I just thought I had to take that chance. If I didn't, we'd never get peace. And I've taken it, and they all going to say it's political. It's got nothing to do with political. I got rid of politics last March.
I support you fully. I sent you a wire last night. I congratulate you warmly. It's a great step.
You see, they say, well, why'd you do it 5 days before the election? Well, by God, they didn't tell me till last Sunday night that they let the GVN come. You see, we haven't timed this. They've timed it. I've said it's got to be prompt. It's got to be productive. Now, they wouldn't make it productive. They wouldn't let this government there. And I couldn't pull a Chamberlain and go and divide up South Vietnam without them there. But now they've conceded and let them come. And I've also told them they couldn't take advantage of me. Now, they haven't agreed that they wouldn't. But if they do, we'll react. Now, you got the picture?
Yeah, surely have it.
I see Tower's got a long statement saying that he doesn't see why the situation changed, why we do this, and so forth. Well, I guess I have to call him.
Well, I sure have. I've sent my wire last night commending you and issued it to the press at the same time.
Well, God bless you. I'll call Price right away.
Now, Mr. President, yep. One other thing on that rally. I think it'd be helpful, too, if we could get Preston Smith and Don Yarbrough both there. Complete unity. I don't know whether that's feasible or not. Some other people have to pass on the feasibility, but I was just saying, I think it would definitely be helpful.
I don't imagine I have an ounce worth of influence with either one of them, but I'll talk to Marvin Watson coming in here at 1:30, and I'll ask him. I don't either, but I'll find out and check it, and I'll let you know anything I hear.
I knew that you'd have some influence with Price Daniels.
I hope I do. I don't know. I'll just
thank you.
Bye.
Thank you a lot.
Ready?